Well, faith is in Wall Street, right? Or faith is in a doctor report. Faith is in a religious tradition. Jesus, God this may not sound right, but God has a faith. God has a faith standard. God has a, it's like you're looking for a grid to hook to, and he defined faith through Jesus.
Right.
He said, "This is my faith."
Galatians 2:20.
This is my faith, period. Right? So if you're looking for that thing to like hook into life's answers, God says it's Jesus. Hook in, anchor yourself to Jesus, and don't take your eyes off of him, because you're going to be driven and blown and steered towards other faiths, other grids for understanding, and it's not going to make sense. It's going to leave you with holes. It's going to leave you empty, because it's not going to satisfy all your answers, because some of these problems are hard, aren't they? So I wanted to,
Well, I had an awesome vision during worship. And I saw all of us here, I kept hearing the words light and life.
Say that again.
Light and life.
Okay.
And so as I was thinking about, and so I saw us all walking like this with this, we're all radiating light, bringers of light. And I just kept thinking how, when I saw that, I kept thinking that Jesus is glorified, but we're also glorified with him. And so we are the bringers and the carriers of light and life. And so as I'm thinking about that, it's like we all have our own spheres of influence. And so wherever we go, we can bring that the light and the life into situations. But we need to realize that we are bringers of light and life. We need to realize that we're seated with him in the heavenly realm, that nothing is impossible. And when we walk with that mindset, wherever we go, you'll come into a situation where somebody's hopeless or they're broken or depressed or they're sick or whatever it might be.
Right.
And all you have to do is just begin to just release words of encouragement, words of healing, whatever. But whatever words you speak that come in agreement with his kingdom, something's going to happen.
Mm.
Something's going to happen.
Right.
Because of who we are.
That's good.
And so, the atmosphere in here this morning was like, there's no doubt. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's like when we speak, something's going to happen. Something's going to change because we're bringing light and life, carriers of heaven.
That's what I want to talk about, right? Because, so.
Reject his message.
Jesus. Jesus.
No, we're on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because God's description of that is faith,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And he says, make no mistake about it, I'm defining faith for you, Jesus, right? And we labored a couple of Sundays ago, hanging out in this, what we always call the book, the chapter of faith, the faith chapter. Remember Hebrews 11?
Right.
And I was thinking about, because it starts off powerful, gives a bunch of testimony, and ends with this powerful statement. Like, this is what it's about, and this is what you get from it. Okay? And I wanted to just kind of like, use scripture today to kind of talk about, okay, if that's the reality I'm called to, what's my part here? Just to like, and hang it on scripture, just use scripture to teach this morning, we'll get into it. But but Hebrews 11 opens up with just what Vidoc just said there. It says this in 11:1, okay? Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. That's what faith says, right? So you have a thought?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
On the mountain yesterday, hiking with Julia, I just said faith is acting out of a complete confidence in your relationship with Christ, you just have such a confidence in your relationship that you act out of it. And that's exactly
That's awesome, because I'm thinking, okay, so God, you said faith is that. Faith is the assurance that these things, it's like,
You've
told me about this kingdom reality, and faith says, anchor to that, right? And there are things that you won't see. There's not a science formula that's going to lay this out for you. There's not even necessarily a logical flow that's going to get you to that conclusion. So God, how do I do this, right? So faith is claiming that. So I thought, okay, what's my part if I'm going to sit here and put like building blocks? And I realize my journey is about landing in that place. My journey is about living from that place. And the first one is what you just said, Angie, because just a couple more verses later, we looked at it last time. It's like, okay, he says, just believe in this, right? He literally says, it's impossible to please him without faith, right? So there's all sorts of other places you could go for answers. And he says, you'll never find a solution there unless you anchor yourself to how I've defined faith, right? So he says it's impossible to please God without that reality, without faith. And anyone who wants to come must believe, right? That this is who I am and this is who you are. When he talks about this is my existence, he says this is the kingdom and how the kingdom operates. This is the Father's dominion, the King's domain, and Jesus came to show us how to live in relation to that domain, right? So he says, that's the belief system we're talking about, right? That's why when I told you unbelief is believing a lie about yourself, it's believing that's not your domain.
Right.
It's believing that's not the kingdom I anchor to, I plug into, right? And he says, he tells us this, he rewards those who seek him. Right, so I thought, okay, what's my part here? We talked about it in January, right after Christmas. Remember, he gave us this word about staying hungry? Stay hungry. So just some thoughts about being hungry. It says this in Psalms. He says, Psalms 107:9, he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. He says in Jeremiah 29:13, and you'll seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Mm. Right? It's like, don't look to the other grids to plug in. He says, just hang your hat here. He says this in Matthew 7, verse 7. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. He said, keep on seeking and you will find it. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives.
Right.
Everybody who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open to you. Right? So, the enemy is going to... So, if that's... Faith is that reality. God says, this is what faith is. Hook to this. Stay anchored in this kingdom, right? And this is what happens. He tells us in Corinthians, when Paul's talking to the early church, and he realized they're on this Julia journey on the mountain, questioning things, looking because troubles come or conflict comes, what do I do with it? And Paul tells him this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. He says, so we don't look at the troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Right? Paul's getting them to remind them, like, look, there's things that are going to come and try to deflect you from this reality about this kingdom and how this kingdom operates. We're not wired. We're because of sin, because we've been blinded, right? We have this kind of limited understanding of what that truth is. So we're prone to where we came from.
Right.
Habit, culture, teaching, wrong teaching, keeps us looking somewhere else to plug in. Okay. He tells us in Hebrews 12, so right after we have this faith chapter, and says, this is what faith's all about. We'll get to that powerful conclusion, 11. But in Hebrews 12, he says, so run with endurance the race that God set before you. He's telling you, just keep focused on how faith operates. Just keep doing what Jesus does, okay? He says, we do this. How do I do that? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus.
Right.
The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. What did the author of Romans just say? He said, Jesus defines God's faith. Right? You want to know what faith is? Jesus. You want to know how to respond to life? Jesus. You want to know how to interpret tragedy? Jesus. Conflict? Jesus. Relationship problems? Jesus. Bad health? Sickness, disease, Jesus. Money issues, Jesus. Right? He gives. It's like. Don't look to another grid. Don't look to some other faith system, right? To try to bring you answers. Again, from our roots, we're literally prone to. You know, all we knew was the world's going to give me an answer. So that's kind of like my default, muscle memory. So when Paul's talking about rewiring our brains, renewing our minds to think differently, he says, because we're intentionally trying to break muscle memory. We're creating a new memory, right? Mm-hmm. So what's my part? I'm trying to build up this response to live in faith the way Jesus showed me. So one of the things, so he tells me, he says, one, believe that this is how it works, right? He tells me to stay hungry, continue to ask questions about that faith, continue to be a seeker of that faith, continue to explore it, look for it in relationships, allow the encounter to come and be challenged by that faith, right?
Yeah.
Then he says, always keep your eyes on that reality that's out there, this unseen place, right? Because the enemy's going to try to get you off it. And he says, no, Jesus is... Stay focused on Jesus. He keeps you on it, right? Then he says, make this true about you. He says, always declare what's true. One of the reasons that we worship, one of the reasons that we do praise on Sunday morning is to, you're sort of like reminding your spirit, this is who I am in him, right? We don't, you notice how when we sing, we don't sing about how lost we are, how jacked up we are, how broken we are. Do you notice that when Lisi takes us into worship, we're celebrating who he is and our and the joy of that relationship of us in him, right? We're like, that's the truth. We declare this truth. So scripture tells us, don't ever deviate from those declarations. Don't let lies come in and deceive you about who you are in him, right? The Psalms are filled with that. So let me read just a couple of bit of the Psalms about declaring that truth. Psalms 145, my heart explodes with praise to you. Mm-hmm. Now and forever, my heart bows in worship to you, my King and my God. Every day I'll lift up my praise to your name with praises that will last throughout eternity. Lord, you're great. And you're worthy of the highest praise. For there's no end to the discovery of the greatness that surrounds you. Generation after generation will declare more of your greatness and declare more of your glory. Your magnificent splendor and the miracles of your majesty are my constant meditation. Your awe-inspiring acts of power have everyone talking. I'm telling people everywhere about your excellent greatness. Our hearts bubble over as we celebrate the fame of your marvelous beauty, bringing bliss to our hearts. We shout with ecstatic joy over your breakthrough for us. You're kind and tender-hearted to those who don't even deserve it, and you're patient with the people who fail you. Your love is like a flooding river, overflowing its banks with kindness. God, everyone sees your goodness, for your tender love is blended into everything you do. Everything you've made will praise you, fulfilling its purpose. And all your godly lovers will be found bowing before you. Never once do you have to sacrifice your value, right, to celebrate him. God never says that you have to be kind of like a piece of junk or a loser in the system for him to be exalted. He's not compromised by you being strong.
Mm-hmm.
God's not intimidated by your fragile ego. Okay? So it's good to, it's like, as we celebrate, we just be found celebrating his goodness, the greatness of his love, the fullness of who he is, and celebrate, like, I mean, the phenomenal response of the kingdom of heaven's response to this earth, right? And just, that's it. I can just be in that place, right? And the truth I'm declaring to my spirit is, that's where I belong. I'm in that. Right? I'm in that river, right? The other thing that I would say is my response to faith is I have an expectation that he's going to respond powerfully, right? Romans 4 says this, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in that response, he brought glory to God. Said he was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promised. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, right? So there's a, like, building blocks. It's like, what's my part here, God, of like accepting this grid for kingdom reality, faith. God, what's my part there? Right? Believing him, anchoring to that system, be hungry about pursuing the more of kingdom, right? The more of that truth, just soaking it into your body. Celebrate what's unseen. Don't be intimidated by, I don't understand.
Right.
Just celebrate the promises of that forever reality and declare what's true about his goodness. Right? Here's some promises, he said. We've talked a lot about seeing manifestations in the house or in worship or in a sanctuary, right? We've seen before. Some of you have seen and have said, like the presence of angels,
right,
for instance, or clouds, or sound, or smells even. He tells us in Hebrews that there is going to be angelic activity around you, that he says that ministering angels are sent, right, to minister to you. For all those who would inherit this reality, salvation, for those who live in this faith, that's a natural response. And he tells us that he's got angels that are on command guarding you. So it says in Psalms, right? He also promises you this. He promises you encounters, right? As we walk anchored to this faith system, as Jesus showed us, he tells you that, how about this in Acts, when they're up in the upper room, which we can teach on that some other time, because they're actually in a terrified place because of what just happened. He says, at that place, the whole place shook, right? Because the presence of God. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the result of that was this boldness that came on them to release their faith. It says they preached, right? But what he's saying is they released faith. The strength of this reality that's like becoming true to them, right? They're waking up. Here's another one. I just want to get a lie out of your head that when you walk in faith, that the enemy's gonna beat you up. Right, the enemy. Oh yeah, there's going to be bad things that happen now that you're doing this. You're a big target now, so bad stuff's going to happen to you. And we tend to like, the false truth is that we're like, oh, we're martyrs. So, oh, let the bad stuff happen. Oh, see, look at me. Badge of honor. Bad stuff happened. That's kind of a bad interpretation. All right. If born again is what Lisi's saying at the end, this, oh my gosh, I'm consumed by your love. I'm waking up to this. Our faith is anchoring in this reality of the kingdom of heaven, right? The enemy's game plan is to get you to not wake up to it, right?
Right.
So the veil that's over mankind, which we call sin, which plugs our seeing, the truth is that's the only game he knows is to disrupt your journey of living in faith. Right?
Deception.
Yeah, that's the only game he's got. And so sometimes we say, oh, the enemy's gonna come and he's gonna get you. So be on the lookout. But I'd like to read it out of, because it talks about this, that he roams around and he's gonna take you off. Right? That's in 1 Peter. So let me read this.
Roaring lion.
I'm going to read it, that roaring lion verse out of 1 Peter, out of the Passion, okay?
Hmm.
It's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, he is roaming around. He's looking for prey to devour. So take a decisive stand against him and resist his attack with strong, vigorous faith. Right? For you know that your brothers and sisters around the world are having this, they're living the same challenges, right? And he says, and after all of this, the God of all grace, he's called you to share in his eternal glory in Christ, will personally and powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you're not a loser. You're not a victim. You're not the, you're not the weak kid on the playground, right? So
no.
he literally says, stand strong in who you are and your authority and say, stop, right? And the good news is he has to flee when you do that.
Well, not only that, but if you're seated in the heavenly realm and you're living in that place for most of the time, there's no way he's going to come up into heaven. Are you kidding me?
He can't.
Because Jesus is, because you're up. He can't be outside of time and space. He's limited to time and space. So when we're living from a place of in the spirit realm, he can't be there. He can't be in the heavenly place. And then when you're down here, if you already know who you are, all you gotta do is tell him to get lost, because you got all power, authority, and dominion.
So it does look a lot like the playground bully, right?
Yeah.
And maybe that was, you know, maybe you had some of that experience growing up, or maybe
you have to be on the offense.
So
one thing I've learned after 8 years.
Sure. So if you're intimidated,
if you're on the defense, then you're loose.
If we walk intimidated and believe, what we do is we end up like, well,
we're already defeated, right?
I'm starting to believe his story. I'm starting to believe the lie he said about me. I'm starting to believe my weakness. I'm starting to believe I don't have a response here. Right at that point, he's taking you out of the game.
Well,
right?
The only power he has is the power that you give him.
Right. He's right. He is only empowered by what authority we release to him.
Exactly.
So we have
right.
to be on the offense. We have to stand strong, right? And just in all those building blocks about believing and declaring and living in that place of the being consumed by the love of Jesus and understanding what your authority is, because he tells you, hey, you're going to be intimidated. He is going to try to get you to believe lies. He tells you to stand strong, but here's the promise of Scripture about, but I don't feel strong. He says, here's what I know in Psalms 138:3. As soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. Right? Joshua 1:9, he says, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isaiah 40, verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. He says, even youth will become weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Colossians 1 verse 11 says this, we'll also pray that you'll be strengthened and that all his glorious power will come on you, so you'll have the endurance and patience you need, and that you'll be filled with joy.
Right.
So Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, the Son does nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing.
Right.
Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So the gospel of Jesus is this stirring up of who you are, the value of who you are, how consumed in love you really are, how accepted you really are. And Jesus is saying, this is the Father's faith. I'm showing it to you. So he's pulling you into the Father's faith and says, so just like I only do what he does, you do
right.
what the Father does, right? And that's when he says, if anyone loves me, he'll obey this. And my Father is going to like love him, consume him with his love. And he says, and he'll come to him and he'll make our home with him. He's literally saying, you're going to be pulled into this place of like being one in him, right? So the celebration of our faith is walking into this oneness with him. And this is the bookend of Hebrews 11, all right? It's like, here's what faith is. Here's what faith is, right? We follow Jesus. We get distracted. He says, nope, keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay hungry, stay filled in this reality. Look for the encounters, walk this way. Right? And he says this in Hebrews 11 at the end of that chapter on faith. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice and they received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the flames of fire. They escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle, and they put whole armies to flight. That was the response of a people living in faith, right? So we're left with that conclusion of that when Jesus goes to the cross, just before he goes, and he's telling the disciples, I tell you this truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I do, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. He passed the baton to you,
right,
and said, these amazing truths, these incredible miracles, these unbelievable responses to the enemy's shenanigans are yours,
right,
to conquer and to rule. And I just thought, God, thank you for Jesus and the definition of faith. Thank you for answering for us and showing us, like, this is our reality. This is what I'm called to, right? So with that, let's just pray. God, I'm so thankful that you have never given up on me. You have always valued me. Before I even knew I was valued, you had value for me, God. You've always loved me like a son. And so, God, I just say thanks for the love of the Father. And thanks for Jesus to reveal what's true. And thanks, Holy Spirit, for always counseling, always guiding, always steering me back to what is true. So this week, God, as a community and family of believers, we celebrate what's true. We celebrate faith, God. We celebrate love in Jesus' name. Amen.